SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
You're listening to Australia Explained, an SBS audio podcast helping you navigate life in Australia.
A home-based business can be a highly appealing option for many individuals. It offers cost savings, flexibility, and can accommodate a wide range of professions beyond traditional office work. Examples of home-based businesses include fitness and wellness coaching, hair and beauty services, catering, and professional childcare. However, like any business venture, some regulations must be followed.
The majority of people running sort of one-person work-from-home businesses are set up as a sole trader, which is the cheapest, quickest option for a one-person business.
Welcome to this episode of Australia Explained. I'm your host, Maram Ismail. Today, we will break down the basic regulations and key steps to consider when setting up a home-based business in Australia. Whether it's run from home or elsewhere, a business is generally defined as an activity carried out with the intention of making a profit. But not every way of earning money qualifies as a business. Assistant Commissioner Angela Allen from the Australian Taxation Office, ATO, explains the difference.
For example, when you have a one-off transaction or an activity that is a hobby where you aren't seeking to make a profit. A home-based business is usually one where you have an area of your home set aside that is used exclusively as a place of business.
Whether you run it from a shopfront, your home, or any other premise, the same preparation is required when it comes to tax obligations, super, and registrations. Ms. Allen again.
So to start a business, even if it's from home, you'll need a tax file number, TFN, and you might also need an Australian business number. Both are free and you can apply online. Depending on how much money you make, the size of your small business, and if you have employees, you may also need to register for other ATO obligations, such as goods and services tax, GST, pay-as-you-go withholding, and fringe benefits tax.
To start with, you need to choose a business entity type. The business structure you register as will affect how you are taxed, the level of legal risk you are exposed to, and whether additional registration is required in the state you operate in. Alex Solo is the co-founder of Sprint Law, an online legal service for small business owners. He says that for individuals setting up a home-based business, the most common structure is a sole proprietorship, also known as a sole trader rather than a company.
The majority of people running sort of one-person work-from-home businesses are set up as a sole trader, which is the cheapest, quickest option for a one-person business in Australia. You can do it yourself online.
But there are pros and cons to both options.
A company costs more. It can cost, you know, at least $600 a year to set up. There's ongoing fees, additional tax obligations. So it's more expensive. But again, it can suit a one-person business or a few-person business really well because it provides a lot of risk protection. If things go wrong in the business, it really is separated from your personal life, your home assets. It's all limited to the company, if that makes sense. So it can be a better idea, but still, given the cost, the most common we see is that sole trader model for people setting up the sort of work-from-home business.
Depending on your industry, running a home-based business may require government approvals, especially from your local council. Council approval is most commonly needed when clients visit your home, such as in home massage therapy, hair and nail salons, or fitness and yoga studios. Most food-related businesses, unless you're dealing with specific products or operating on a wholesale basis, will also need to register with their local council rather than the state food authority, as local planning requirements often apply. Andrew Davis is the acting CEO of the New South Wales Food Authority. He says that subject to council approval, most food businesses can operate from home.
And that could include mobile food premises, so food trucks, for example. It could be caterers, people who make food, and then they take it to functions and events. You can even get manufacturers that operate from home as well, and also retail where food is made and sold directly to the end consumer.
No matter where you are in Australia and whether based at home or not, as a food business owner, you need to comply with the Food Standards Code. Mr. Davis gives some examples of what the code covers for food retailers.
The food safety practices that need to be met, and also any general requirements in relation to premises. So we're talking about the kitchen in the home, for example, that would be the premises, but also the equipment if products are being made and labelling is required. Those labelling requirements are also in there.
Early childhood educators can work from home under the family daycare service model, which is part funded by the Australian government. Typically, a family daycare educator is registered as a sole trader and works under contract with an approved service provider. These services operate under national legislation and are assessed against the federal government's national quality standard. Andrew Peterson, CEO of Peakbody Family Daycare Australia, outlines key prerequisites for the sector.
You need to have a Certificate 3 qualification in early childhood education and care. There are a range of background checks, like working with children checks, police checks and the like, some first aid and safety qualification requirements. The premises needs to be assessed as suitable. Once you get sort of through all those preliminary requirements, it's then the point at which you would register with a family daycare approved service.
The approved service provider is responsible for supporting and monitoring the educator to ensure they comply with the relevant legislation and regulations, including local government approvals, which can vary. Mr. Patterson adds that general requirements for setting up any home-based business also apply, including tax registrations and securing adequate insurance.
The misconception perhaps sometimes about family daycare is that it's a babysitting or a childminding service. It's important to come into family daycare sector with an understanding of the fact that you are an early childhood education and care professional, but you're also running a business and you're working in an environment that is highly regulated, highly professional.
If you're starting a business for the first time, it's a good idea to seek professional support. Regardless of your experience, be sure to contact the Small Business Government Agency in your state or territory for advice and to explore any available government subsidized services. For example, in Western Australia, the State Agency for Small Business offers workshops, advisory services, and online resources, including a business license finder that helps you identify the regulations and licenses required for various industries. Chris O'Hare, Senior Business Advisor at the WA Small Business Development Corporation, shares a key tip for new business owners.
I would always encourage people who are starting a business to build some financial management and some basic legal framework understanding skills. Because in the end, even if you go to a lawyer or an accountant and they recommend something to you, as a business owner, it is ultimately your decision. It's not theirs. They give you their advice.
And if you're setting up a home-based business while renting, you'll need to get your landlord's approval first, Mr. O'Hare says.
For anyone who's renting their house, not just local council, but you need to be speaking to your landlord or your property manager early in the piece because they may choose not to allow you to do that. And it would be, I would imagine, quite a horrifying experience to start a business up and have lots of excitement and then have your residential lease cancelled because you've broken your lease.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Australia Explained, written and produced by Zoe Tomato and hosted by me, Maram Ismail. Australia Explained Managing Editor is Rosa Garmian.
This was an SBS audio podcast. For more Australia Explained stories, visit sbs.com.au/Australia Explained.
Subscribe or follow the Australia Explained podcast for more valuable information and tips about settling into your new life in Australia. Do you have any questions or topic ideas? Send us an email to australiaexplained@sbs.com.au.